Okay, so I thought I'd talk about unconditional love as a characteristic of the Father and his heart for us. Funnily enough, the term unconditional love isn't found in Scripture anywhere. You won't find it if you look it up in the concordance. But actually, there are plenty of verses like, greater love has no man than he lays down his life for a friend. So the concept is definitely there. But it's a characteristic of our Heavenly Father that the Church hasn't modelled very well. Let's be honest. I was ruminating on this a little bit, and I've felt that, you know, for the last, most of my lifetime, evangelism has been by slogan. What do I mean by that? I think the first one I came across was, Christianity is not a religion, it's a way of life. Trouble is, that's what a religion is, it's a way of life. That one has at least been updated a bit. Now we've got Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship, which is a whole lot better, but anyway, it's still a slogan. And God loves you, he has a wonderful plan for your life. Who heard that one? It's kind of vague, isn't it, let's be honest. And I think the worst one, God loves you, but he hates your sin. Why do I consider that the worst one? Because two things. In fact, all of these slogans takes us out of the equation. And when you say to somebody, God loves you, but he hates your sin, what you're saying is, I think you're a filthy, rotten sinner, and you deserve to burn in hell, and good riddance. And to be honest, you say that to a gay or a lesbian, they see their sin as their identity. So what you're saying is, God hates me, because that's who I am, or at least that's who they think they are. So the problem with any of those slogans is there's no personal involvement. It's about God and them. It's not about us. But unconditional love has to be expressed through us. So I've dreamed up my own slogan. God loves you and so do I. And you know what? Last I checked, that's a majority vote. God loves you and so do I. And last I checked, that's a majority vote. So I've got a definition of unconditional love. Again, it's my own. And that's love without an agenda. Because greater love has no man than he lays down his life for his friend. There's no agenda in that. It's nothing about. It's about building bridges and not walls. God's not that hung up about our sin, to be honest. You know, when Jeremiah announced the new covenant, the last thing it says, you know, I will put my, maybe I'll just look it up. Have I got it here? I'm not sure now. Here we are. But this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days. I'll put my law in their heart and in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be God and I will be their people. And it goes on to say, know the Lord, for you, they shall know them from the least to the great. I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. So we get this funny idea that sin is that important. Here's an imaginary conversation between me and God. God, I've done this terrible thing. I've done all this wrong stuff. And God says, really? I've forgotten about that. Yeah. Now, maybe that's the ditch on the other side of the road. But yeah, you know. And yet when we're dealing with people, do what Graham Cook says we shouldn't do, and that's we call people out on their sin instead of calling them up to their destiny. So how do we do that? Well, let's have a look at how Jesus did it. And we're looking at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Okay. You know the story, it's pretty easy, but I'll just rip through it and then pick out a few points. So it was the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, if you want, I will let down the net." And when he had done this, they caught a great multitude of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and both filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid, for now on you will catch men." So when they brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. I have this silly picture in my head that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, leaving all this fish behind for dear old dad to look after and say, "You leave me with all this fish and you run away on me." Yeah, well, anyone who follows Christ gets persecuted, so that's okay. Verse 5, Peter was kind of petulant, let's be honest. He was tired, he'd been up all night. He caught nothing, and to a fisherman that's pretty frustrating. So he was really, really frustrated. If it was me, I'd say, "Excuse me, you're the carpenter, I'm the fisherman. Go teach grandma to suck eggs, you know." So he was pretty ticked, and we know that because when verse 8, he says, when he sees what happens, he says, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Jesus never called him that. Hello? And they left everything and followed Jesus as a result. See, Jesus declared his destiny that he was going to be a fisher of men. And he got a hold of that. And guess who gets up on his hind legs on the day of Pentecost and preaches to the crowd and nets 3,000 souls? Peter. So the way to evangelize is to declare the destiny over someone, not their sin. Call them up, don't call them out. Zacchaeus. What did the crowd think of him? A thieving Roman collaborator and a traitor. Do you know what? I think Jesus looked up and he saw, here's a man with a gift of hospitality. The woman at the well, you know, I reckon, you know, the first thing he does is ask her for a drink. I think he picked her love language as acts of service. And maybe quality time, because she got a real dose of that. What about Gideon in Judges 16? The angel comes to him and says, "Hail, mighty man of God." And he says, "What, me?" He declared his destiny. So the key to unconditional love is to see that person as God sees them and declare destiny over them. If you don't like someone, ask God who they are. That'll change things. And it'll change your attitude towards them as well. As Graham Cook said, you know, for too long we've called people out on their sin and not up into their destiny. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, don't you know it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance? So we condemn and rebuke. Yeah, Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. But you know what? It says do good to all. So that's about it. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. We are to model the unconditional love of Christ. And how do we do that? By being good to all.